Did you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and 80s TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
Hey guys, what's going on? You are listening to ThisWeekinGeek.net, and I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dodd. Well, guys, if you've been checking out some very cool things on the interwebs recently, you may have heard about this series called Spectrum. This thing was a cult sci-fi classic years upon years ago, and the stars have done fairly well for themselves, namely the Captain Jack Moore, and he's had a friend of his who's been traveling the convention circuit doing all sorts of neat things, actually just had his very own action figure just released a little while ago. I'm talking about Ray Nearly. No, wait a second. Scratch that. We're not doing that anymore. That's right. I'm talking to Fireflies and Con Man's Alan Tudyk. This guy has done so many cool things over the years. Like I said, from Firefly, and a friend of mine reminded me he did Steve the Pirate from Dodgeball the other day, and just about lost my shit because I remember that because I'm like, oh yeah, that guy. And I gotta say, I am so excited and a little bit beyond nervous to be speaking with him today on the show. Alan, welcome to This Week in Geek.
Man, that is like the nicest interview introduction I've ever had. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Of course, man. So I gotta say, I just finished watching the first 7 episodes of Con Man, which is your new web series, which premiered at the beginning of September, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah. I guess, tell me, how did Con Man get its start?
Wow, I was. Nathan Fillion and I, who played the captain on Firefly, I don't think I need to say that on this in this podcast. People know who he is. He and I were in his kitchen, and I had an idea for a movie, and we started talking about this movie, and then it's along the way, I went and pitched it as a television series, and wanted to do it probably online. I didn't know. It didn't seem like something that would work on the networks because, you know, when you do networks, you have to appeal to a very large audience, and you have a lot of studio executives and network executives that have their fingers in the pie because it's their money that you're working with. And I didn't want to water down the experience that I've had and the story that I wanted to tell about conventions. It follows a character who has a history that's similar to mine, that he was a spaceship pilot, like you were saying, on the show Spectrum, and Nathan's character was the captain. But Ray is a little bit dismayed by his career path. He made some bad choices after Spectrum was canceled, and now he's only going to conventions because he's not getting much acting work, and that's got him down, and he can't really appreciate his life as much as he should. So that's basically it in a nutshell. And, oh, how did it get made? We crowdfunded, and the fans gave us $3.2 million. That was probably a big part of that getting made.
So were you surprised how quickly things got together? Because as far as I know, this was one of the Indiegogo's, like, record breakers.
Yes. Yeah, we broke... I think we broke a record as far as raised the most money for us. I mean, you know, it becomes raised the most money for a series in 24 hours. We raised $1 million, and it just kept going from there. So we ended up funding the Vimeo series fairly quickly, and then moved on to a comic book, which is, I wish I could tell you who's drawing it. It's being drawn right now. I mean, we had already written PJ Harsman and I had already written first chapter for the novel, and he's one of the other producers and also a novelist. He had done the Softwire series, the sci-fi four-book series for young adults, and so we were writing the next book, basically, that has now become Spectrum. And then there's a game. The game is being done. It'll be out next year with Freema. So it just, the fans kept going, and we kept all the things that we had lined up that were like, oh, and one day we'll be able to do this, and one day we'll be able to do this. That one day happened very fast because of all the support we got.
Now, when you started getting the series together and you worked with Nathan, because you guys were the executive producers, how did you guys decide to bring in basically your friends and family, like not just from Firefly, but from like other kind of projects? Like, how did you pitch the idea to them?
Right. Pretty much like I did to you. There's a lot of people who go to these conventions, a lot of the sci-fi actors. They will go to the convention and they'll say, God, somebody needs to make a show out of this, or somebody should make a movie out of this, because there's a lot of stories that are just naturally born out of it. And a lot of it is, it's a fantastic world. I mean, you've got superheroes and anime characters and comic books and artists. There's Batmobiles and TARDISes and all of these worlds coming together at once. And it's just a really rich backdrop for stories. And so whenever we pitched it to people who do go to cons, like Felicia Day, Sean Astin, Seth Green, and many, many more, Will Wheaton, Milo Ventimiglia, Michael Dorn from Star Trek, Worf, what up? Yeah, and, Tricia Helfer from Battlestar Galactica. They all knew. They knew what we were talking about. It was easy to relate it to them because they've gone to conventions for years as well. And, you know, the main thing was, don't make fun of the fans, and we're not making fun of the fans. It's about this guy that I play, Ray Neerley, who, although he may not appreciate the fans, if he ever takes them for granted, he gets it back. It smacks him in the head. He suffers for his ignorance. And that's where a lot of the comedy comes out of, because you sort of watch Ray fall down. And he's the type of character you like watching fall down, because you can see that he's missing. He wants to be famous, and he is. It's just that he's got in his head that fame is something else than what he's experiencing. And it'll be his journey to find the great life that he's living.
Now, as you were saying, you didn't want to make fun of the fans who go to these conventions, but I myself have done some conventions as a guest, and sometimes the guests can be weirder than the fans. So without Absolutely. Revealing any names, how much of this is based upon some of your experiences with actual celebrity guests?
Oh, wow. Well, there's a party in the first four episodes. I think it's in episode three. There's a party that takes place as a VIP party, where you go around and there's people who have paid to have this VIP experience, and you chat with them and answer questions and have a little bit more personal experience. And a lot of times those are parties, and everybody gets wasted and they party. I mean, a lot of cons, people go to cons to party, and not all of them. It's a big family event as well, but so that's true. Some of the people, you know, it's all fairly exaggerated. One as far as a fan goes, an experience with a fan, and there are those experiences with fans. They're exaggerated for Ray's benefit, for Ray to sort of accent or to highlight Ray's bad attitude. There's a Darth Vader who comes up, and he's really tall, and he's intimidating, and then he says, "Could you make it out to Kevin?" And then he can't pick up the 8x10. That happened in San Antonio just last year, and it was hysterical. But we talked about it. You know, how are you going to take over the universe if you can't pick up an 8x10? He's like, "I know. Can you help me with it?" I was like, "You need to use the Force. I wish I had my lightsaber at least." And, you know, we had a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun with it. So that's the reality of my life. But then for Ray Neerley, he looks at it with, wow, this is my world. And there's a fan who comes right at the end of that same segment where I've met a lot of fans who have had these very deep experiences with Firefly and have, you know, during troubled times in their lives, they've really found something in those characters, in the stories that we tell, to buoy them through whatever that rough time was. Or maybe it's just, this helped me connect with my father. I mean, there's like really moving stuff. And so we have a guy come up who's dressed like the Tooth Fairy, and he's like, your show helped me forget what happened to my village. I burned it down. And so it is a similar situation, but so ridiculous that he burned it down. What you just want to ask so many questions. Did you burn it down on purpose? How did you burn the whole village down? Wait a minute, you have a village? So it uses situations that then through exaggeration can be funny and everybody can laugh at. So they have a kernel of truth in them, and then you see, you know, then it becomes fun from there.
So some of the people that, like, you had a chance to work with, I was actually really surprised to see show up, especially in the first 7 episodes. One of the people I'm really surprised you actually got a chance to bring in, just because I know the guy's, like, ridiculously busy, was Joss Whedon. And I bring that up just because I know you and the rest of the Firefly cast, you guys all keep in touch in a lot of ways. What was it like to come back together and work with some of these people again on the same set? I mean, even if it was only for just a couple of weeks.
It was great. I mean, for Joss Whedon, that was a very particular experience where I was directing Joss Whedon, which I can't say enough about how nervous I was doing that. And he was like, give me direction. Give me some direction, please. Because he was a little nervous acting. And so everything came with like, well, do it like that maybe, if you want. It was never very, you know, commanding. And the line that he has, and there he has one line, the line that he has, since he is so busy, is one that he made up, which makes sense. That same scene, Summer Glau is in the scene, and she's with Nathan Fillion, and it's a flirty scene, which seems a little wrong, but that's what I wanted to do. She plays a makeup artist, and I don't know, it was great. James Gunn appears in the last 3, who's somebody else who's extremely busy working on the next Guardians of the Galaxy. There's just so many people. Also, I never talk about Candace Patton, who's on The Flash. She came and did a little role. Trisha Helfer is my romantic interest for 3 episodes is funny and ridiculous. And you saw it. She plays an oddball who's got this weird way of kissing. It's abnormally erotic kissing on the cheek, and it goes on and on. And she's so, it's happening, that she keeps saying that it's happening. Like, what is, I'm confused about what is happening. So we had a lot of fun. Amy Acker, I just saw Amy Acker. We were finishing off some ADR. And, God, yeah. You know, Henry Rollins is in it.
What? Where?
He's going to be in the last 3 episodes.
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah. I mean, there's some great people in here. And you know, the main thing that I wanted was to make it funny. You know, I want it to be funny. I want people to laugh. And there's going to be jokes in there that people get who are from the sci-fi community, and who are geeks and nerds, and who they're like the TARDIS, right? That appears in episode 7, I believe. And Trisha's character, that kissing thing that I was talking about, happens primarily in this TARDIS. And for people who don't know the sci-fi world, they're going to be, that's just going to be a blue box that we went into that just happened to be on the floor. But for fans, it'll be like, oh, I know where they are. And then I have a line in there that she's like, hey, we've got to get out of here. You know, I can't get away from you in this little box. And I say, you know, I actually thought it'd be bigger in here. I thought it'd actually be more roomy. And, you know, for people who know Doctor Who will get that joke. But for people who don't, it's still just as enjoyable.
Now, one of the things that I want to ask you about is, with the Indiegogo, you guys had a bunch of different reward levels going all the way up to 25 grand,
yeah,
which is insane. I can't imagine paying that. But then again, this 25 grand experience, a fan gets to hang out with you and Nathan on your birthdays.
Yeah.
Has this happened yet?
No, it has not happened yet. It was a great job. I got a great job in Star Wars, in the next Star Wars, Rogue One, which is sort of dream come true territory. And the only thing about it was it fell in July. And we finished in June. We finished our principal photography. So we finished in June. And then right at the end of June, then we had 9 days before Comic-Con San Diego, where we showed our trailer. And then I had 2 weeks in the editing room to sign a bunch of posters as well, which I only signed 3,000. I've now, since I had a little break from Rogue One, and signed the other 7,000. No, 12. I had to do 12,000. I did the math. I did 9,000 more. I had to sign as many as possible, edit as much as possible, and then I was off to do Rogue One. So, and I'm there till December 20th. So it's going to be, we have to postpone it. But everybody's been really nice about it. A lot of them are Firefly fans. A lot of supporters are Firefly fans. And I have to say, I met a lot of people because there are different funding levels. There were, I don't know what the title was, but they got to come on and be extras, which was amazing. So a lot of the fans, I would say 90% of the fans that you see in Con Man on Vimeo right now, you can go check it out on Vimeo, that you see are actual fans. And there's a good game to play. You might want to do a drinking game if you're into those. If you see a fan twice in two different conventions or doubled up, because we kept using the same fans again and again, and so you see them throughout the entire series. We'd have lunch, you know, we get done, we do little photo shoots with everybody. It just continued the feeling of the community, you know, it just continued the good time that was, we made this for fans, for ourselves, to tell about this place that people don't know about, to tell another side of cons that fans don't know about, to introduce all these crazy characters and to make something funny. And it really just felt like people, almost like a small theater piece where you're sewing the curtains and making the costumes and putting on each other's makeup and going, all right, let's go out there and dazzle them. You know, I just didn't feel like work at all. Maybe a little bit. I was doing too many things. I was doing directing and writing and starring and producing. I'd say that's like two too many jobs.
But it does sound like it's a lot of fun, basically, because you're coming to work to hang out with your friends and make something that genuinely makes people laugh. So yeah. I've got just a couple of more questions for you. And this is more for personal interest for me, because I'm a huge fan of props. It says some people got to take some props away from this series. Mm-hmm. Did anybody get the Ray Ray doll?
The Ray Ray doll did not go out because we're holding that back to auction off for charity. I forget how much the Ray Ray doll cost. The cost kept ballooning because I just wanted like a lever in the back, you know, that easily, you know, kind of jinky. He has an action arm, so that if you haven't seen it on Vimeo right now, you can check it out on he has an action arm. And I don't know, PJ Harsmer, our other producer, took it to somebody who like rigged it with electronics. And also the Ray Ray doll, the head was painted from a fan. It really was a community effort. I think it was thousands of dollars, that thing. So we're gonna auction it off. There are, though, there were a lot of boxes, because there were many of them on set. And inside the boxes, it looked like there were other Ray Ray dolls, but it was this printed cardboard piece. And so the printed cardboard pieces went out. The boxes are going out. There's a lot of stuff. It's like 200 people did the prop perk. So there's a lot of props.
All right, so I have a final question, and this one comes from my Facebook, actually, mostly from my friend Adam Wren. So Adam, this one's for you. He wants to know if there's going to be anything more with you and Tucker and Dale.
Oh, yeah. We're still talking about it. I mean, I just talked the other day. One of the producers from Tucker and Dale, Thomas Osberger, came to see the screening that we had for fans. That was another perk. We had a special screening for fans, and Nathan was there, and Felicia Day was there, and Mindy Sterling was there, and we all, whatever. We did a talk back, and they showed the first 7 episodes early, and Thomas came to check it out. So, and he and I had been talking, oh, I got to read that. There's another movie. But talking about different ways to get it done, the script that came in, none of us were really happy with it, and we are all committed to not making a movie that harms the first movie, you know. And I think they've cracked it. It's not an easy thing, because the first movie was all about misunderstanding, and you can't repeat the misunderstanding, because they would get it immediately. And so it's a trick. It's a trick that needs to be pulled off that you don't see. It's got to be clever, and we're not that clever. So it's taken a little time, but we're all committed to it, I should say. So that's something.
All right, then. So final question, is there a possibility of a Con Man season 2?
Yes, there is. Absolutely. And let's just say when we do a season 2, I want to do more than right now. There's 13 episodes. We only released 7. We're going to release 3 more next Wednesday on Vimeo. I love using this voice. Exclusively on Vimeo. There's also a thing on Vimeo where they say, like, you go to the thing and it's like, you know, pay this money and you'll get it for 3 months. It's a 3-month rental. Scratch that. It's not a 3-month rental. You just get it forever. And that's going to last for a little while longer, a couple of weeks. And then they're switching the way that they're doing it, you know, because we want more options for people to see it. Because I want as many people to see it as possible, because I think it's funny, and that's worth something to me. And so anyway, if you do that and you see that 3-month thing and you go, oh, you can rewind that and go, and just do it, because it's going to be forever unless there's more options, and then you missed the window. So get it now! To answer your question, yes, there's going to be a season 2. In the last 3 episodes of this series, the 11, 12, 13, Nathan and I are on a spaceship again. And that's fun. And Amy Acker's on the spaceship. And then we also flash forward 10 years and see the whole cast and what has happened to them and where they all are. They all come over to Jack's to watch this lost episode. The fabled lost episode gets released on Dutch television. And there's Dutch commercials, there's animation, because it was only 2 days of shooting before they got canceled. And then the creator went off to Holland and finished the episode with Dutch actors. That's James Gunn. And Candace Patton. And then there's shadow puppets and comic book panels and really cool animation. And anyway, you'll see the spaceship as well, and you'll see the scenes we shot on the spaceship, and it's pretty dramatic and fun.
I'm really, really looking forward to seeing that. So,
all right, man.
All right, guys. Well, that was my interview with Alan Tudyk. Please go check out this series. Like I said, you can check it out on Vimeo.
Vimeo.
There will be a link in the episode description. As of this recording, there are 7 episodes, but because this is coming out on Tuesday, so after Canadian Thanksgiving, which is when I'm actually recording this, you should see the next 3 episodes, which are called Voiced Over, Sinking Feelings, and Thank You for Your Service. So be sure to be checking those out. Wonderful series. We will see a season 2. I'm excited. So, guys, until next time for ThisWeekInGeek.net, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live for your Die Hard. And I'll catch you guys again next time right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't miss it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face. And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. Not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico. Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Whoa, my God. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content. As well, subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @thisweekingeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. This extra music was produced by Pronobozo at pronobozo.com. We'll see you next time, and remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.